Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bible's open to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. We'll stay standing and read this text together, or I'll read it to you. You follow along. If we try to read it all at the same time, it might get confusing. It's a great text of Scripture. Prepare ourselves for the hearing of God's Word and God's preacher this morning. 2 Corinthians 7, 14, the Bible tells us this. 2 Chronicles, sorry, not Corinthians, 2 Chronicles. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Amen, amen, amen. Boy, they're going to give you a hard time and giving a wrong reference. It's going to be a rough morning this morning. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing on the word. We ask God that your Holy Spirit would be our preacher and teacher this morning, and you'd call us to righteousness. Thank you for your many blessings. You're so good to us. And God, if there's someone here that isn't sure their sins are forgiven, isn't sure they're on their way to heaven, may they hear the gospel today and what Jesus did for them. And Lord, may they get born again just like many of us are able to be born again. And Lord Jesus, we pray that those that may not be born again, they would not resist the Holy Spirit, but today your work would be done. God, please bless America again. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Good to have you here this morning. Every once in a while when somebody asks me what I am and I tell them I'm a preacher, this has happened a couple of times in my life, and it happened again this last week in an elevator. Somebody asked me what I did. I said, well, I'm a preacher. He said, what kind of preacher are you? I said, I'm a born-again Baptist preacher. And I've gotten this response two times in my 39 years of pastoring this church. And the response was this: well, I never heard of that kind before. Yeah. A born-again Baptist preacher. And I'll tell you something else concerning history. I'm not a revisionist. I'm not for rewriting American history. I'm for taking, and I keep my hands off of the Word of God. I know it's God's book. It's inspired, verbally and plenary inspired Word of God. It's God-breathed. Everything man touches, he messes up. So I just preach exactly what is there as best I can. And trust this morning that you'll be blessed. I love America. I am for Grandpa's America. Not horse and buggy America. You got to get to Walmart or Meijer somehow. So not horse and buggy, but flag waving, family oriented, God fearing United States of America. That's what I'm for. I love freedom. I've got several things I want to try to get across this morning in the time allotted, and radio kind of keeps me right on time, and I got a body clock that's going off, and I got a digital clock, two of them back there that I'm able to watch and know exactly where I am. And I trust that this morning I'll just be able to be concise and powerful and say what needs to be said this morning. The dream that is America. I thought about that often. America. If you were to wrap it up in one word, it would be the word freedom. Amen. Freedom. The dream that is America was not born in the heart of man. It was born in the heart of God. And God instilled it in man. And God knew, and our forefathers wrote it down. All men are created equal and endued with certain inalienable rights. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Freedom. When I think of America and where she is and where she's been and what she stands for, and you may misunderstand, it's about freedom. And by the way, I'll get political for just one little minute here. Socialism does not work anywhere in the world. Nowhere in the world. Doesn't work down in Venezuela. Doesn't work down in Cuba. You say, well, what about Sweden and Denmark? Man, it don't work there either. And if it wasn't for the rest of the world propping up those countries, man, they would be non-existent. So understand, I'm for freedom. I'm for capitalism. Okay, let's take a step back on freedom now. And I want to kind of go to Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 61, if you would. Old Testament prophet Isaiah. First Amendment. Congress shall not make any law, make no law respecting the establishment of religion, of prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We have freedom in America. Thanks to the Danbury Baptists, we have the separation of church and state. The state is supposed to stay out of the church. That's what it means. That's what the context of it is. Now listen, don't turn it around. The church cannot stay out of the state. That's impossible.
Right.
You have core values. You know what the Word of God teaches? But our forefathers were all about the state, the government keeping their hands off. It's freedom of worship. It's freedom of speech. It's the right to bear arms, our Second Amendment. That's freedom. It's everywhere you look. Isaiah in chapter 61, Jesus quotes this in a synagogue in Nazareth in Luke in chapter 4 at the very beginning of his ministry. That quote is from the book of Isaiah. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Psalm 33 and verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people chosen for his inheritance. Freedom. John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want you to know that as a born-again child of God, every once in a while I hear somebody say, oh, that New Testament Christianity kind of thing, you're a slave to religion. No, not so. Not so. I am a bond slave. I am a bond servant. I choose to be a servant of Jesus Christ because I owe him everything. He has given to me eternal life, and I am set free. Man, I am as free as a bird this morning. I really, the weight is off of my shoulder because of Jesus Christ. In 1886, there was a statue erected in New York Harbor. Inscribed on that statue are these words: give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. That's America. Go to John in chapter 3 and verse 16. 25 of the greatest words that have ever been written. When I read what is written on the Statue of Liberty, I can't help but think of John 3, 16. John 3, 16. I read the story just recently of an old, how many remember, well, you weren't there, the Merrimack, ironclad, the ironclad boat from the Civil War. The skipper of that boat finally reached, and he became an aged old man, had nowhere to go, and they put him in what was called the old soldier's home. And it was told to the chaplain of the old soldier's home that the ex-skipper of the Merrimack, he was a skeptic. So the chaplain, the man of God, stepped into his room, and the man was closing in on death, and he brought a Bible to him and said, sir, I hear you're a skeptic. He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I would like to challenge you to take this book and to read it. And here is a red pen. And if you would mark in red everything you come across that you disagree with and you can't believe. He said, okay, sir, I'll do it. About every other day, the chaplain would stick his head in the door and say, Jim, you mark up any red yet? And the old sailor would just grin in silence. Went on for several days. And one day the chaplain stuck his head in the door and he saw the man's eyes were closed, and during the night, the old man had passed on. He was in bed, lifeless, and that Bible was on his chest. The chaplain went in there and took the Bible off of his chest to look at the Gospel of John, where he told him to go. Chapter 1, no red markings. Chapter 2, no red markings. Chapter 3, verse 16, something written in red. And in the margin of that Bible, he said, "My soul is anchored safe in the harbor."
Amen.
Glory to God. That's exactly what was written there. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The dream that is America. America's beacon of light is freedom. Folks, we're the envy of the world. And I can stand up in a pulpit this morning and preach the word of God. There are so many nations, so many countries in this world that can't be done. Man, God has prospered this nation. And again, I'd say this, never a 4th of July goes by or a Memorial Day where I don't somehow get this in there. We have befriended Israel and God has blessed America as a result. Genesis in chapter 3, God made Abraham a promise, "I'm going to bless your seed, now bless them that bless you." America needs to stay on Israel's side. Right or wrong, I know secular Israel, I know secular Jews that aren't born again. Some of them are the most ungodly people on this earth, but they're God's chosen people, and God is not done with Israel. And that's what the tribulation is all about. Church is going to be raptured. 144,000 Jewish evangelists are going to start to preach the gospel, just like you're here and preached here this morning. God's not through with Israel. And America has been blessed because America has been good to Israel. And if we ever fall off of that foundation, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. That's not political. That is Bible. That is theology. That is what the scripture says. Please don't ever forget that. Freedom. Freedom. Free from the penalty of sin. I've got three P's here I want to share. It'll be the core of this message. I'm going to try to wrap it up as quickly as I can. We are free. When you get born again, you are free, and I am free from the penalty of sin. I'm not going to hell. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." John in chapter 1 and verse 7, "But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." All kinds of verses concerning this. I know two things. I know I deserve to go to hell. And I know I'm going to heaven. And it's because of the blood of Christ. If you're here this morning and not born again, you've got to come by way of the cross. Kick the religion to the curb. Come to Christ, a relationship. Repent of your sin. Ask him to forgive you. He'll save you this morning. He'll clean you up. He'll make you a new creation. I am redeemed. I have freedom from the penalty of sin. There's freedom today from the power of sin. Go to Romans in chapter 6. Let's all turn over there. Romans and chapter 6 and verse 14. Freedom. Freedom. I'm kind of inserting some illustrations from history into this message this morning without rhyme or reason. But the one message is America. In America, we are free. Let's take advantage of every opportunity. Let's make hay while the sun is shining. Whatever life you've got left here on this earth, it's time to win souls. Whatever life you've got, I'll say this. Every once in a while, I run into them more and more and more. I'm talking about preachers that say, "Well, my ministry is discipleship." I said, "Well, that's fine. That's the second step of the Great Commission. But if you're not evangelizing, who are you discipling?" Pretty soon you're going to be discipling unsaved people. Boy, that's a dangerous thing. You're going to turn out Pharisees. Evangelism is the number one step. That is part of the Great Commission. We're to preach the gospel to every creature. So don't give me that sanctimonious look and say, "Well, I'm just not one that's called to do the work of an evangelist." Really? I guess you're not reading the Bible. Because everywhere from Genesis to Revelation, it's either people getting saved or people getting other people saved. And so that's why we are still here as children of God. We've been delivered from the power of sin. Our forefathers knew what it was to be in bondage. On April the 18th, 1775, at the home of Pastor Jonas Clark, some of our forefathers were gathered together with men and muskets, and they referred to themselves as Minutemen. In that group was John Hancock and John Adams, just to name two. A British officer came and knocked on the door and commanded the Minutemen of the colonies to disperse in the name of King George. And they were almost in unison, in one voice, shouted back, "We have no king. We have no king but Jesus, and no sovereign but God." And I would tell you this morning, I have no king but Jesus. And he wrote a book, and that's what I'm preaching here this morning. Preaching right out of this book, his book. Romans in chapter 6, look what it says here in verse 14. "For sin shall not have dominion over you." We're free from the power of sin. You say, "Well, Pastor, why do I struggle so much?" Because you're still flesh, and so am I. But you don't have to knuckle under to that sin. It says here, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." Strongest words you could use. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I am no longer under the power of sin. I, as a New Testament Christian, do not have to commit any sin that comes knocking on my door. Man, if I just yield my members unto righteousness." I got a little plan for you here. It's not original with me, and it can be written many different ways. And here you need to do in order to overcome the habitual sin in your life. Number one, renew your mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Number two, reckon the flesh dead. Romans 6 and verse 11. And number three, replace the old with the new. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." And by the way, that was talking about offerings and drink offerings and everything there, and holy day and new moon and Sabbath. You read it in context. But whatever we do, we can do it to the glory of God. I am no longer under the power of sin. I haven't arrived. We heard that this morning in Sunday school from the words of the Apostle Paul. Man, I haven't reached some kind of sinless plateau where I no longer sin. I'm the preacher, and I still am guilty of sin. And I got a black heart. And it's deceitful, and no man can know it. And it's a constant struggle every day of my life. And I'm not saying for a moment that I arrived, but I do know this. I know what I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Amen. I'm a new creation in Christ. Yeah. And you wouldn't like the old Tim Rader. Yeah. But the new Tim Rader, he's just a lovable guy. And maybe you don't like him either. But you just don't understand him. That's all. But the truth is, you know, we still have that old nature living within us. But you don't have to give in. Preaching on freedom this morning. Free from the penalty of sin. You're born again? Not going to hell. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. What a glorious message of the Word of God. I'm not going to hell. And I am not under the power of sin either. Man, I know it's here, and I understand it's a struggle. That's the way it is. Man, this is the season of the open houses. And this, yesterday, we went to 4 open houses. Some of you went to open houses and the funeral, and there's 3 open houses today. And you know the great thing about open houses is all that food. Man, it's a wonderful thing. Yesterday, it started at the Hendersons at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I wasn't late, was I? I was right there at 10 o'clock, right? So 10 o'clock in the morning, I went right on through last night. And the last night at my house, there was cake and ice cream for a reveal party for a baby that is going to be born to Lance and Amanda. And we rejoice in that. So all day long, man, I just gorged myself all day long. Somebody said to me, last night, the last one was spaghetti and meatballs and barbecue ribs. If you didn't go to the last one, you missed out, right? But man, I'm just walking around like this. Somebody said from the church yesterday, preacher, I guess won't be hearing you preach on gluttony tomorrow. Oh, not a chance. In fact, I told him, as a matter of fact, I want to preach the whole counsel of God, and I am scheduled to preach that message the very day of the rapture, just so you know that. If Pastor Rader preaches on gluttony, you'll know Jesus is coming real soon. That's a sign. No, I joke. That's not a sign. Freedom from the power of sin. Man, you don't have to give in. That's a wonderful truth. So why does the born-again Christian who is set free from his or her sin, why do they run back to the chains of Egypt? Why do they run back to the dungeons of despair and slam the cell door shut on themselves? Why is it that the Church of Jesus Christ wants to be just like the culture, just like Hollywood? I want to dress like they dress. I want to talk like they talk. Why? I want to drink what they drink. Why are so many New Testament Christians running back to slavery? Man, you've been redeemed from that. Right. There's one more freedom that is provided for us in the cross, and that's freedom from the presence of sin. We're not there yet. That'll happen when we get home to heaven. That'll happen when the trumpet sounds. There's a great day coming. Go to Galatians in chapter 1. Galatians in chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 5:27 says that he might present it, that's the church, to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. One day we're going to be presented to God whole and perfect. No warts, full head of hair, not crippled up and walking around like an old man well before his time. I'm preaching to myself right now. I've told many of the young ladies, the girls from the academy at these open houses just before they indulge in some calorie-laden food, remember what it says, a second on the lips, forever on the hips. That isn't in your King James Bible, but I think the principle is taught there. And they go right back at you, Pastor. I said, I got no problem with my hips. It's this belly that's out front of me. That's where the problem is. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, who gave himself, this is Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. The day is coming. Well, we'll leave this earth behind. We'll receive our glorified bodies. The Church of Jesus Christ will be perfected, and we'll present it as a bride to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. And we'll live, we'll have a 1,000-year honeymoon in the millennial kingdom, and we'll live forever in God's heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Man, that day is coming. It's going to be a glorious day. Say, preacher, do you really believe all that? Amen. I stand in the pulpit today because I believe that. For 39 years of ministry, I've seen lives changed. I've seen God take people that were spiritual paupers and turn them into spiritual giants. Rags for riches. Heartaches for heaven. I've seen entire families absolutely turned around. That is the power of the gospel. The only regret I have is I haven't gotten more done for God. That's the only regret. What a life it is to live for God. We have freedom in Christ. The dream that is America is the word freedom. You don't need more big government. You need a big God. Amen. Jesus fulfills that freedom. Free from the penalty of sin. Free from the power of sin. And free from the presence of sin. That day's coming. Go back again to Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Jesus began his ministry with that in a synagogue in Nazareth. It's why Jesus came. In New York Harbor, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp, Statue of Liberty, I lift my lamp beside the golden door. There's a bigger door than America's door. It's God's heaven. And he, Jesus, said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Come unto me, all ye that are burdened down with cares and heartaches. Take my yoke upon you. That same Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Say, preacher, boy, if I knew my sins could be forgiven, I got good news for you. They can be forgiven this morning. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. You'd say, preacher, I heard what you said. I tried to listen real good, but listen, I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but I've never received Jesus as my Savior. I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know that my sins are forgiven, that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I don't know that I've ever been born again or born anew like Jesus spoke of in John in chapter 3. And I yearn to breathe free, to have my sin washed away, to be clean. My friend, there's only one way that can happen. Repentance. Will you come to Christ? And he saves you. I want it, preacher. Here's what you need to do. Right there where you're seated, I'm going to pray a sinner's prayer right now. I'm going to ask you to testify afterwards just by lifting your head and looking at me, but if you right now, where you are seated, between you and God, you desire salvation, you know that you're a sinner, you don't want to go to hell, would you pray the best way you know how, in your heart, silently, not out loud, silently, call out to God, he'll hear your heart's cry, and he'll save you this morning. Just pray these words, and the best way you know how, make these words your words. Dear Jesus, I am a sinner, a wretch, I'm lost, and I need you as my Savior. Please come into my heart and save me today. Oh God, I trust you for eternal life. Best way I know how. In Jesus' name. God, would you bless the altar call this morning? Again, thank you for America, but even bigger than that, thank you, O Son of God, for coming to this earth and dying in our place, providing a propitiation, substitutionary death. Lord, dying because I deserve to die, you took my place. Lord God, thank you for paying the price for my sin. And God in heaven, thank you that you're alive. And Lord, for anybody here this morning that prayed and received Christ, give them the boldness to just step out and have someone pray with them. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, if you received Christ this morning, it's the beginning of a brand new life. You meant it. I have no reason to doubt that. You repented of your sin. It's just a heart thing. Then you are now a child of God. Get growing, man. Get in the Bible. Get in a good Bible preaching church and grow like everything.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.